name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, your fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. The general manager of a football team has to determine who the star of their team is. They have to determine what player or what coach is most valuable to their team and pay that player or coach accordingly. The director of a movie has to determine who the star of their movie is. They have to determine what actor or what actress will make the movie successful and cater to their every need. The CEO of a company has to determine who the star of their company is. They have to determine what worker is most valuable and make sure they do all they can to retain him. You see, oftentimes in this world, people have to determine who the star is. They have to determine what player on the team, what actor in the movie, what worker in the company is most valuable. And if they fail to determine who the star is, if they make the wrong decision, it can be detrimental to their brand, their product, maybe even get them fired. Well, today we're going to try to determine who the star is. For as we look at this familiar story from St. Luke's Gospel, we're going to see a couple of characters, familiar characters, who all play a role in this marvelous Christmas story. But as we do, we're going to answer this question: who is the star of the story? Now, the first person we meet is the angel Gabriel, and he seems to have all the qualities of being a star, right? He's an angel. He's a ministering spirit sent by God to serve God and to serve his people. And while being an angel does not mean that he is all-powerful and all-knowing, since only God is all-powerful and all-knowing, being an angel does mean that he has more power and more knowledge than any human being. He can do things and know things that are beyond our comprehension. Just look at what he was able to do in our text. He appeared to Mary. He didn't use a door. He didn't use a window. But he appeared to Mary. And more than that, Mary can actually see him and hear him. Angels are spirits. They don't have flesh and blood. But the angel Gabriel was able to appear in such a way so that Mary could see him and hear him. And the message that the angel Gabriel proclaimed, well, the message was absolutely marvelous. The angel Gabriel told Mary that she would be pregnant even though she is a virgin, and that her son would be the prophesied son of David, the one who would sit on David's throne and rule forever and ever, just as God had prophesied in our reading from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Truly, the angel Gabriel did and knew some pretty amazing things. But as incredible as Gabriel is, I think it's quite easy to refute him being the star of this story. But listen to the very first verse of our text. We read, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to Mary. The angel was sent from God. While angels do have power and knowledge that's beyond our comprehension, remember where they get all their power and knowledge from. It's from the Lord God. Angels never do their own bidding. They never just do whatever they want to do. But angels always do whatever the Lord God sends them to do. In fact, the Lord God even gives them the power and the knowledge to accomplish his will. As an example, Gabriel could have never figured out on his own that Mary would be pregnant with the Son of God. That was something God had to reveal to Gabriel and then send Gabriel with that message to Mary. So the angel Gabriel can't be the star of this story. But the second character we meet? Well, the second character we meet might be a little more difficult to determine whether or not she's the star of the story. For the second character we meet is the Virgin Mary. And there are two pretty incredible things that are said about Mary in our text. First off, notice how the angel Gabriel greeted Mary. He said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Those are some pretty big superlatives, right? Superlatives that were not said about any other woman in the history of the world outside of Mary. In fact, you repeated those superlatives in the hymns you just sang when you sang, "Most highly favored maiden." That's the first incredible thing about Mary. And the second is that Mary actually believed the angel's words. She believed that she would be pregnant, even though she's a virgin. She believed that her son would be the prophesied son of David, who would rule forever and ever. She believed that nothing is impossible with God. And so she believed that the miracle of the incarnation of God taking on human flesh, that miracle would happen inside of her womb. And so maybe she has to be the star of this story. For not only out of all the women in the world was she chosen to be the mother of God, to be the one who would give flesh and blood to the Son of God, but on top of that, she was also chosen to take care of God, to nurture him, to provide for him, and to protect him, especially when he was an infant or a young child. What a privilege Mary had. A privilege no other woman in the history of the world had. A privilege that Mary actually believed she would get, even though everything the angel was saying to her really didn't even make any sense. And so it seems as if Mary must be the star of this story, for not only was she chosen to be the mother of God, but she actually believed that what the angel said would happen to her, for she concludes at the end of our text, "May it be to me as you have said." That's why so many religions, even Christian religions, make Mary the star of this story. It's why they worship her, pray to her, or give her glory and honor for everything that happened here in St. Luke's Gospel. But just like with the angel Gabriel, I think it's pretty easy to refute Mary being the star of this story. For think about why she was so blessed. Why she was highly favored among all women. It's not because she chose to be the mother of God, but it's because she was chosen to be the mother of God. Mary really didn't do a whole lot in this story. The angel appeared to her, and when the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you," when the angel Gabriel said those words, she became pregnant. She didn't really do anything. But God the Spirit placed God the Son inside of her womb so that she could give flesh to God the Son and allow God the Son to fulfill God the Father's plan of salvation. In fact, even when it comes to believing the angel's words, the Virgin Mary really didn't do anything. It's not like she slept on it and weighed whether or not she should choose to believe in the angel's words or not. She didn't choose to believe in this promise any more than you chose to believe in the promise. In fact, if it depended on Mary choosing to believe this promise, if it depended on you choosing to believe this promise, none of us ever would. For this promise that a virgin could give birth to the Son of God, that promise is so outlandish that not a single person could ever believe that on their own. And so if Mary didn't choose to believe this on her own, how could she end our text by saying, "I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said"? It's all the same way that you believe that promise. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about this. The conception of Jesus is not the first time that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. But rather through the reading of the Old Testament scriptures, as well as through the rites and rituals at the temple, the Holy Spirit had already come upon Mary and granted her saving faith. Before this story, by faith, Mary believed that God would send his Messiah into the world to save her. And after this story, by faith, Mary believed she was the one that was chosen to bring the Son of God into this world. Mary's entire life was a life that was lived by faith, faith which was not a choice or decision she made, but faith that was a gift of God. That's why she can't be the star of this story either. For there's only one star of this story. And it's the same star of every single solitary story in the Bible, whether we're talking Old or New Testament. The star is the Lord God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the star of this story. He sent the angel Gabriel to Mary. He told the angel Gabriel what words to say. He even gave the words power so that what Gabriel said actually happened. He then entered Mary's womb. He then took on human flesh. And he did all that so that he could win salvation for you, for me, for Mary, and for all who would believe in him. Yes, the Lord God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the star of this story. He is the star of every single story in the Bible. If you are ever reading a story of the Bible and the Lord God is not the star, you've misinterpreted it, right? He's the star of every single story. And if he is the star of this story and every story of the Bible, do you know what that also means? It also means that he's the star of your story, the star of your life. For like Mary, you are highly favored, and you are blessed. Not because you're going to be the mother of God, that was a promise given to Mary alone, but you are highly favored and you are blessed because the Lord God is with you. The Lord God has come down to you and has won for you salvation. And more than that, the Lord God himself comes to you through word and through sacrament to grant you faith, through word and through sacraments, through word, water, bread, and wine. God is just as present here today as he was inside of Mary's womb. That's pretty incredible to think about. And more than that, the Holy Spirit is also present, creating and strengthening faith inside of your heart so that you can believe to these promises and cling to them by faith. You see how the Lord God is the star of your life, how he's the star of your story. And so starting this evening at our service at 5 o'clock, you're going to hear this marvelous Christmas story again. You'll hear about Mary and Joseph and angels and shepherds and wise men and a whole host of other characters. You know that Christmas story, but it's marvelous to hear. You'll get an opportunity to hear it later this evening. But when you hear this story, remember who the hero is, who the star of this story is. There's only one star of this story. There has only ever been one star, and there will only ever be one star. The star is the Lord our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For he is the Redeemer. He is your Savior. He is the star of your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise as we confess our faith in that star, in our Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, using the words of the Apostles' Creed as printed in the bulletin.